of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. I think everybody will agree that the gospel read on this Sunday is one of the most difficult scripture readings that are read in the entire Christian year, because it seems as if the Lord Jesus is giving his approval to some rather shady dealings. So what's going on here? Well, a manager for a rich man suddenly finds out that charges have been brought against him because he's been wasting the rich man's resources, and therefore he's going to be out of a job. So what to do? Says to himself, I'm not strong enough to do manual labor, and I'm ashamed to just beg. So he decides to ingratiate himself with his boss's debtors by cleverly reducing what they owe him in the hope that because of the favor he's done for them, the debtors will then take care of him when he loses his job. And when the rich man finds out about these shenanigans, he in fact commends the dishonest manager not for his dishonesty, but for his shrewdness. Jesus then uses this story he's just told to make the point that those he calls the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are those Jesus calls the sons of light. And then Jesus draws this conclusion, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Trying to put all this quite simply, Jesus is saying that worldly people are more shrewd, more clever in dealing with their own kind than are godly people. And he's telling his hearers, he's telling us, to use what wealth we may have to make friends here on earth so that when this life is over, they may welcome us in heaven. But this too is perplexing. Perplexing. Is Jesus saying that using what wealth we have to help people here on earth will guarantee us a heavenly reward? How can that possibly be? Because isn't eternal life the free gift of God's mercy Isn't Jesus the gate and door of heaven? Hasn't he, through his holy life, his innocent suffering and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, opened the way to the life and joy everlasting? The answer, of course, is that he has, but it's also true that whatever good we do in this life by way of showing mercy to others, as Christ has shown mercy on us, is evidence of our faith in our merciful Savior. As he is merciful, those who trust in him are merciful. And though there's nothing we can do to merit eternal life, it is also true that we will be rewarded in the life of the world to come, because those we've helped, those to whom we've shown mercy, will be witnesses to the mercy we've shown them. And in helping them, we are in fact helping Christ in them. Remember the Savior's story of the Last Judgment. When, in answer to the question of the sheep on his right hand, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" Christ will answer, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." And to those on his left hand, "Inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these my brethren, you did it not to me." And so this puzzling parable Jesus tells is a call to repentance for each and every one of us. It is an invitation to follow him in his great generosity. His great generosity. When St. Paul was gathering a collection for the poor Christians in Jerusalem, he said to the Christians at Corinth, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Christ came to restore in us the image of God that was lost through the fall. The image of God who is the generous God. He came to replace our inborn selfishness with the generosity we see so clearly, so fully in the eternal Son of God made flesh for our salvation. In the church, we sometimes talk about Christian stewardship. A steward is one who manages what doesn't really belong to him. And when we talk about Christian stewardship, we are saying that nothing is finally ours apart from our sins. We're saying that everything we are and have is God's gracious gift to us, and that we are but stewards, managers of everything he's given us. I'll never forget something a dear friend of mine said in a sermon he preached some years ago. He forcefully made the point, saying, "Everything that belongs to you now will someday belong to someone else. Everything is, in fact, on loan to us from God to be used generously. And that means not just such wealth as may be ours, but everything the good and generous God has in fact given each one of us. Whatever particular skills, insights, wisdom, cheerfulness, kindness, compassion, everything. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we see the magnificently generous God whom we are called to follow all the days of our life. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us now stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all.